You're listening to Guide to Brides, the wedding podcast. I'm Nikita from Team GFB, and if you're planning your wedding or helping someone who is, you're in the right place, because I'll be discussing trends, practical planning tips, and more with the help of some special guests along the way. So let's get started with today's episode. Welcome back to Guides to Brides, the wedding podcast. And if you're watching on YouTube, you will be seeing here that we are in a completely different place to where we were last time. We've taken the podcast on the road again to Ellie Sanderson's boutique in Kiddington. And we're going to be discussing in this bonus episode all about Ellie's new franchise business, as well as what she loves about being a bridal retailer. I think it's just going to be a really nice conversation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Would you like to introduce yourself to our audience? I know you have done a podcast episode way back during lockdown, haven't you?
I did it during lockdown.
Yes.
And I was at home with gin.
Yeah.
So I wasn't nervous at all.
And now she's like, oh my god.
There's no wine bottles. So I'm Ellie Sanderson, as you know, Nikita. Yeah.
We know each other quite well now.
it's been a while. I have two gorgeous wedding dress shops, if I say so myself. One in Beaconsfield and one in Kiddington, which is where we are today.
Yeah.
This is the newest one. We moved here only in August last year.
It is a gorgeous boutique, and I have to say Hannah, who does all the producing on the podcast, will be inserting lots of lovely clips into the YouTube video so that you guys, if you are watching, can see what it's like in here, because it is just stunning. I love this boutique.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So tell us a little bit more about Ellie Sanderson as a brand currently, and I think why we're talking about this on our podcast for couples, because I think it might not be a very obvious thing to begin with, but we'll go into it.
We'll go into that bit.
Yeah.
So Ellie Sanderson is a brand. We set up 15 years ago. I made the leap out of corporate retailing because I saw the writing on the wall with a high street, if I'm honest.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to go back to my roots and do something that I absolutely loved. And fashion design, interior design was something that I loved. So I kind of literally made my own job. I threw on the table all the key things that I enjoy, sewing, fabrics, fashion design, interiors, visual merchandising, retailing. And I came up with a couple of jobs. We won't go into the other one because you might judge me. And bridal retailing was the job. And that was in 2006-07. And so I started to then shape this business. And I knew very early on that I needed to sell product that I absolutely loved. I can't sell something if I am not invested. And so I set out to only sell beautiful, handmade, gorgeous wedding dresses. In the beginning, they were mostly British made. And now I've kind of stretched a bit further and we sell lots of fantastic international brands. And
where are your brands from?
So literally all over. Australia, Ukraine. We still support Ukraine. We've got a great brand from there. A couple of big New York labels.
Mm.
Barcelona. And the UK, we have a couple of UK-based labels as well.
Amazing. So really reaching out across the globe to find those real hidden gems of bridal wear.
My time in the evening when I'm not working in the shops is basically searching out the next big thing, looking for labels where I think the dresses are fashion forward, not fashion victim-y, but fashion forward, stylish, beautiful, and that will fit within our collection. And I literally, 3 years ago, just before COVID, it was the beginning of March before COVID, found a dress that I absolutely loved, contacted this designer. She was a New York label, Kelly Fettinini, and I said, Kelly, I need you in my shops. And she said, come see me. And I literally booked a flight that evening. I had wine. and I arrived in New York the following week and I bought the collection, and the collection arrived just in time for us to shut the shop for COVID.
Oh, God.
That's the kind of lengths that we go to. You know, for me, the provenance of what we sell is really important. Mm-hmm. So knowing who these people are, looking in the whites of their eyes, knowing that they are ethical and how they produce their product, knowing that what they make is beautiful and handmade and gloriously made, not whizzed up in a factory, and that's really important to me. So the labels that we choose to work with, sometimes it can be a love affair of 2 or 3 years before they actually end up on the rails. We've got one label in here at the moment called Chosen by Kaya, and you know, we've been talking since 2019.
Wow.
And the collection literally, because they weren't ready to expand into the UK, and when they did, we were one of the first 3 shops that got the collection.
Wow.
So, you know, you kind of work on these relationships for a long time, but when you fall in love with a dress and you just know it's the right thing for your brand, then nothing will stop us. They're from Australia. I didn't get to go to Australia.
Instead, God damn it.
Because my best friend lives in Melbourne and I'm like, Melbourne. But no, what we were able to do is we met them in Barcelona, sealed the deal, brought the dresses back to the UK. So yeah, it is international buying. But you know, kind of back to the beginning, I have created my dream job.
Yeah.
You know, I was a buyer in blue chip land when I worked in corporate retailing. So I'm used to understanding the supply chain side of everything as well as the retail side of it. So, you know, I'm able to sort of balance them both out. I don't buy collections on a whim. I don't buy, you know, no-name labels that have got no background. I financially check all these people out before I even give them a penny, because I have to protect my brand more than anything, but first and foremost are my brides.
Mm.
I need to know if they buy a dress off me that I am going to 150% deliver it.
Yeah, that's really good to hear, because I think, like, in terms of lead times as a bride as well, you know, myself being in this moment,
are you
know, am I? I don't know that. I don't talk about it at all. But you know, being in that sphere, you kind of you realise how fast it goes when you're planning, but it is an extensive period of time in the space of, like, you know, you buy a dress and then you probably wait about a year before you even put it back on to have it fitted.
Yeah.
You know, it's an interesting process that you don't really go through. So to be able to trust a brand, I think personally, is the most important part of that.
Yeah. And I think that's a big thing for us. You know, we're 15 years old. Beaconsfield. I'm now at the point I have brides coming in saying, I used to go past on the school bus. And I'm like, I used to go past on the school bus. It's my dream to buy my dress here. And, you know, I just want to cry when they say that, because it is their dream. And I pray to God we have their dream dress. And more often than not, we do. But it is just such a delight when girls say that to me. And obviously, Kiddington, you know, we are literally 2 miles from Woodstock. But prior to being here, we were in the city centre of Oxford. We still have brides come in and say, we passed your shop every day on the way to uni. We, you know, when we got engaged, we knew we were going to Google your name and come find you. And so they did.
So in terms of, you know, helping brides, what is that moment that told you, actually, this is what I really want to do?
And there was a really clear moment, and I had a breakdown at Aberdeen Airport one day. It's December the 19th.
it's so traumatic. It's ingrained.
December the 19th, 2005. I had a massive job. I was a sales director for a really big company. It was a homeware company. And I was sat in Aberdeen Airport. It was snowing. And I just had one of those moments where I thought, I am not in love with this job. I had got to such a level within the business that I no longer saw the customers. And I hated it. I sat there and I thought, I don't get to sell things anymore. I don't get to speak to people. I don't get to say, you know, this is a beautiful vase and the reason you should buy this vase and know all the features and benefits of a product. And that's what drives me. It really is the detail of everything, where things come from, all that stuff we've talked about before. So I had this breakdown in Aberdeen Airport. It was snowing. They cancelled my flight. I checked into the local Holiday Inn hotel and I sat there and emptied the minibar and decided that I needed to change my life and direction. So I literally got home the next day and went into work and handed back the car keys, left the job and was unemployed for a month while I decided what I wanted to do. And in that time, back to the original story, I chucked everything on the table, all my skills, all the things that I loved, and I literally wrote my own job description and then I made that job happen. So it was quite a defining moment.
Yeah, and quite a scary one, I'm sure. Just sort of stop and go, what am I doing?
It was amazing because I felt relieved.
Mm.
And there are so many women that are in jobs that they don't enjoy. January, my inbox is full, and my Instagram, all my DMs are full of girls that are saying, I can't go back to do the job that I've been doing. You know, we all start a new year and it's all clean. Can't go back to doing that job. Cannot travel into London 2 hours a day on a train. 4 hours a day commuting to a job I hate. And having those moments where they want to go and do something else. And very often, fairly high-powered women, and they, you know, they ask me, can they come and work in my shop? And I'm like, you're overqualified for just styling. You've got so many more skills. And some of them have gone on to be store managers with me, and others have gone on to do other things. But, you know, you do get to a point, and it's sort of mid to late 30s, where you kind of go, is this it?
Mm.
And I want to do something I really want to do with all my skills. So there is a defining moment. And, you know, the inbox in January was nuts this year.
And is that why you decided to sort of look into the franchise avenue?
That's quite a nice link there, wasn't it?
No, it was. You. Yeah, it's almost like we planted it. Yeah, we didn't.
but interestingly, so if I go back over the business journey, you know, opened Beaconsfield. 3 years later, we opened in Oxford City Centre. When I left corporate life, the plan was not just to ever have one. I was going to have at least three or four. And basically, we opened a shop in Beaconsfield, and it just went pop. In the second year, we were insanely busy. And then I thought, I need to do something because the shop's not big enough to cope with this level of trade. And so I'm going to open my second shop now, you know, only having 24 months opening. So we planned the third shop. We opened a third shop. We literally took the business model and the systems and dropped it into the other shop. And the other shop was only 25 kilometres away. So in my head, I'm going, we're going to siphon off a bit of the turnover from this shop to that shop. And this shop will be slightly more calm. Oxford City Centre opened. Bang. Like that. Crazy busy. Busy, busy, busy. 3 months in, I'm going, it's not siphoned anything off Beaconsfield. 6 months in, 6 years on, it hasn't. It's a different shopping region. And they are different shops. They traded very differently. We did have to then come up with an alternative solution for Beaconsfield for space because we burst at the seams. And then after trading in Oxford, it was bursting at the seams. So at that stage, we started to think about the next shop. We had an outlet for a period of time, and we've just opened another outlet. Which is where we sell our samples through. So we had an outlet for a period of time, and then a few personal reasons, I was not in the right headspace to expand the business. And so it kind of slowed down a little bit. I then fell out of love with Oxford City Centre, and my lease was up for renewal. I was looking at the city centre going, this is not the shopping environment I want for my brides anymore. And this was, I'm going back 5 years now, Nikita, and I'm looking at the city centre again, there's no parking, it's expensive, you get 2 hours to park outside the shop, you come in stressed to buy your wedding dress, you leave anxious, you've got a parking ticket. And that's when I then decided I was leaving the city centre, I wanted something like this.
Funnily enough, and hopefully this is where Hannah will insert the lovely photos and the videos of the shop.
And so this place took me 5 years to get. And I moved out the city centre, and here's a really interesting thing that happened. I didn't have a shop, and the shop that I offered on fell through, and so for almost a year and a half I had no shop, and I was popping up in Woodstock, I was popping up in Aynsham, I was popping up in Abingdon, I was popping up all over Oxfordshire, and people were still buying the dresses off me in Woodstock Town Hall, in Aynsham, in the big lounge area. And I suddenly realised at that point the power that we have with the brand and the trust is that they trust us to deliver their dress, even if they have bought it in a pop-up shop. And that kind of spurred me on to get the franchising, which is we're going to talk a little bit about today. So but my focus had to be to get my barn. We got the barn, and then, of course, COVID happened, and so... So yeah, so during COVID, you know, we took the opportunity to put lots of great things in place to grow the business. We put a business manager in place, and we introduced lots of different systems and things so that, you know, I could be in Dubai, as we were talking about Dubai earlier, I could be in Dubai and still completely connected to the business. So I can see who's booked into the diary, who's bought a dress, who's coming in for a styling appointment. That is massively scalable. And the whole part of that work during lockdown was to be prepared for the next stage of our business development, which is to franchise the business. You know, going back to my inbox in January, all these brides saying, I get emails saying, how did you start your wedding dress shop? Can you help me start mine?
I mean, fair enough, because when you've done it for as long as you have, you kind of think, and you're thinking about starting your own business, you do kind of go towards those people and go, okay, can I just get an idea of how you did this? Because they know much better than you ever will, like what it costs, what's required, what size of space you need, that kind of thing.
All of that. Financial investment, return on that investment, you know, all the key profit elements of running a business. And so my inbox was always full of these girls going, you know, really want to come and work in your shop. Can I come and work in your shop? And then I'll go and open my own shop. I don't think so. But I used to do that. But alongside of all the journey of Ellie Sanderson from Beaconsfield to Oxford to Kiddington, I do lots of things within the industry that you know. So I do wedding industry awards judging. I write for all the trade magazines. I do business coaching. And so I coach other businesses, other startup businesses, or businesses, there's this kind of like startup where you don't know anything, or you've been around a long time and you've lost touch. So I was coaching those businesses. Obviously, they were paying me to do this coaching. One of them, about 5 years ago, said to me, why can't I just change my name to Ellie Sanderson? Because then I get loads more brides because everybody trusts you. And I thought, you know, all of this information that was coming at me was just underpinning that this was the right thing for us to do. But beyond all of that, I realised that all I was doing in coaching these businesses was I was going in and saying, right, show me your finance system. Right, that's rubbish. I want you to put the one in I use because it's much more intuitive and better. You get better information and you can run your business more effectively. You know, show me your staff scheduler. No, that doesn't work. You know, pieces of paper, that doesn't work. Let's get it digital. Link to your store diary. Show me your store diary. Or you don't have one, you're writing it in a paper. So, you know, I was going around digitizing, developing these small businesses and coaching them and going buying with them. And effectively, I was just trying to make them a mini me under a different brand name. And it became... It became apparent that I needed to change that up a little bit. And everything was pointing, you know, I believe in things come to you when the time is right. And everything was coming at me going, you need to do the franchise thing. And now is the time. It wasn't right, you know, through circumstances before. Then I had to focus on getting my Kiddington barn open. And so the time is now right for us to launch the franchise of the business. And change the business structure to accommodate that, which we've done. So we're ready to go.
Amazing. And so when we're talking about why brides go into bridal after their weddings, why do you think that is? Do you think it's just, you know, falling in love with the industry, or do you think it's actually because of a different reason?
I think it's exactly that. I mean, if I had a pound for every email that I get that said, when I bought my dress, I didn't have the right experience, and I think you should have bought it with me, but when I bought my dress, I didn't have the right experience, and therefore I'm going to open a wedding dress shop and spoil my brides.
I mean, that is the story a lot of people say, don't they?
Nikita, I remember sending a very well-known designer the same email that said, I'm opening my wedding dress shop because I don't believe in this area that brides have the right opportunity to buy product in a luxury environment. And I was a bride last year. And and that designer has since told me that the 20-odd emails that I sent her, she just used to press delete, because the minute the headline was, I didn't have a very good time as a bride, you kind of yawn. And I get that too when I get these emails. But it's real, because you think, actually, I didn't have a very good experience. And there are, you know, there's 4,000 wedding dress shops in the UK, apparently. Possibly 2,000 of them don't give the right level of experience. And it is about that. You know, women don't go shopping anymore. So when they go shopping for the wedding dress, it's not just your average shopping. It is the most magic moment of your life. And in the hands of the stylist is your magic moment. And they can make it or they can break it. And so, yeah, there's all those shops out there that don't do that. So some girls, sadly, don't get the right experience. And those are the girls that go, I could do it better than that. Or they say, the product wasn't right and I want to buy the right product for my shop. So that I'm going to open my shop and I'm going to sell all this product and I'm going to buy it all from, you know, wherever. I'm going to bring it into the UK and I'm going to sell it, you know, and some of that can be quite naive. But yeah, so I get lots of that. And I think that's why girls do it. The other reason girls or women that have been married want to set up a wedding dress shop, or the other thing they want to do, is become wedding planners.
Mm.
I couldn't think of a more stressful job.
Yeah, planning my own wedding. I literally walked in and Ellie was like, how's the wedding planning going? And I was like, Ellie, I'm so tired.
Yeah, I'm tired. Yeah. And I got married last year. And I remember 4 months before the wedding, I phoned my sister-in-law up because the wedding was in France. I phoned her up and I said, Rosie, I don't think I can go ahead with the wedding. She says, I'm not telling my brother. And I went, no, I'm just so tired. And napkin rings and napkins and all that stuff is really not important to me, but it's so important to me. And I can't get the headspace. So but there are girls out there that go, I could do this for a living. I love it.
Mm.
And those girls go on to make brilliant wedding planners.
And actually, I know a lot of the best wedding planners that I've seen are those brides that went, oh, I want to do this all the time.
So I get that. So they get, they come, they think about, right, I can, I would love to be a wedding planner because it's a great job.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to open my own wedding dress shop because it's a great job. And they are immensely great jobs and very fulfilling. And it is my dream job. And I created it for myself 15 years ago. However, the caveat I would add is that to open a wedding dress shop, if you haven't got retail experience or marketing experience or finance experience, it is a huge learning curve.
Mm.
People don't give you dresses. I mean, I'm very lucky. I'm at a stage now where designers do, but only because I've been around 15 years. I'm often gifted dresses and I will only take them if I like them. But you know, you're not given the stock, you have to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I opened my first shop 15 years ago, oh my goodness, you can imagine the demographic studies that I did of the area. I knew the age profile, I knew the divorce rate, and I worked it all out in Beaconsfield. And I thought, right, the average marriage around here is this age, and it's a second marriage. It's a very affluent area. They're going to spend this much on a dress. I worked it all out. And it was absolutely wrong. And this is the person that used to roadmap where Marks and Spencer's put its food only stores based on based on motorways, based on population densities. And I didn't get it right. And the reason I didn't get it right was because I hadn't factored in that brides travel miles to buy a dress. And the people that were local, it wasn't the people that were local that were buying the dress for a second time wedding, it was their daughters that were coming home to mummy and going shopping with mummy locally. So I opened with a product mix that wasn't quite right. And I, very fortunately, because of how I set the business up, was able to move and change that really quickly. So, you know, in summary, a hardened professional retailer like me didn't get it right to start with.
But you've made those mistakes.
Yeah.
For your franchisees to be able to not Absolutely. Make those mistakes.
Absolutely. And that's the big thing with franchising. And, you know, people will be going, what is a franchise?
Yeah, good question. What is a franchise?
I'll tell you what a franchise is. You know, most coffee shops that we go into are franchises. If you go into Cafe Nero and you have a latte and you have a double shot of this and a bit of vanilla on the side, and then you go to another one 100 miles away, you get the same product. Why do you get the same product? Because there are very clear stipulations and guidelines, not just on brand behaviours, shop, you know, coffee shop standards, how they make, the baristas are trained specifically to make the product that's correct. So that is a brand. Another brand is Karen Millen. A lot of people don't realize that's a franchise. And so when you buy into a franchise, you are buying the name that the business has. So you buy a name, if you buy an Ellie Sanderson franchise, for example, and I'm trying to not make this sound like a pitch, but more of an explanation. You know, you buy into a brand that's 15 years old, that sold thousands of wedding dresses, that's got over 1,000 five-star reviews online, that employs over 23 people, that has a marketing manager, that has a business manager, that has me as the business coach. You buy that package and then those people help you set up the business. And it is literally a copy version of how the business runs. You get everything included in your franchise fee. And, you know, you say you bought the franchise. So you've just got married.
I've just got married. I'm about to go and get a franchise.
I want to open a franchise.
I want to open it, Ace Anderson. What do I do?
I want to open it in this area. Mm-hmm. First of all, for me, we have a roadmap of the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And we know where there are spaces that we believe our brand would sit well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been working with a mentor that's tested my brand in the public eye. He calls it a heritage brand. I was quite impressed. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
because it is a heritage brand because it has been around 15 years. So it is quite, you know, he tested how recognisable is it? Have people heard of it? You know, some people haven't, but a lot of people have in the home counties area. Because of all the brand profile that we've got. So there are areas across the UK where we go, right, bing, you know, that's an area. Somebody comes to us in that area and says, I want to open an Ellie Sanderson wedding dress shop. We go, right, okay, that's in an area that we believe there's a space for us to have a shop. And we open up a conversation with them. And it comes down to a number of things. They have to be, you know, if it was you, you have to be the right person to work with me, and I have to be the right person to coach you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't run your business. You run it under the brand name of Ellie Sanderson, like Cafe Nero, and you sell your choice of product within your Ellie Sanderson shop. And that choice of product, let's talk about that. You know, we've got a list of every designer, pretty much, that supplies the UK. We have an A list, which are all the big labels like Suzanne Neville.
Mm-hmm.
We then have a B list, which are other labels that blend well with the A list.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a C list. And the C list, it doesn't mean say they're not important. It's just they're not as important as getting a big footfall driver like a Suzanne Neville. And then we have a C list and we have if you came to me and you said, right, I found the area, we have a conversation, we agree that this is a good match for you. Mm-hmm. You're happy to pay the franchise fee that gets you the Ellie Sanderson name. We help you find the right premises.
Mm-hmm.
You find your premises. You then get a day with my interior designer who will help you lay out the shop. So this building was designed by a company called Atelier Racine. Deanne was my first ever Saturday girl. Well, I just love that it's in the family. She designed it. She designed the mural, not the specific print, but the colours, and she had a muralist come and do all of that. So her job with you would sit down and go, right, here's your space, Nikita. This is how it's going to work. The great thing about her is she's worked in a bridal shop. So not only is she designing bridal shops, she's physically worked in one. She knows in the fitting room how much space you need. She knows how much rail space you need. So all of that is great. That's a given. So you get that. You then get me that helps you buy your product mix.
Mm-hmm.
And say we decided you were going to have Suzanne Neville and you maybe going to have Savin of London and you love Chosen by Kaya. And then you came to me with another name and I'd never heard of it. We wouldn't say no. We say, great, let's investigate this brand together. If we feel it fits our brand values, then we will support and we will come and negotiate with you.
Amazing.
On that. So there's not a no. And then also as a franchisee, you are engulfed in our business processes. You're in the intranet, you can network across all the shops, you get support from the business manager who visits you. We have meetings with me every month, you know, so it's all the support is there. So that if a bride comes into this Ellie Sanderson and goes, right, haven't found my dream dress here. I've looked at this Ellie Sanderson in wherever. Don't want to say a name in case somebody goes, no, in Birmingham. I'm going to go to the one in Birmingham because they've got, you know, Nikita's opened in Birmingham and she's got this label, that label, but she's got this new label I've never heard of and I really want to go and try that on. Then when they come into yours, it should feel, the essence of it should feel exactly the same mm-hmm. as this. The colours, the branding, the dress labels, the dress bags, the staff, stylist training, how you treat your guests when they come in, the whole experience should be the same.
I see. So it's almost like picking up this store.
Dropping it off.
Yeah. But you can, or you have the opportunity to at least personalise the collections totally. Within that.
Totally.
Because ultimately, you have to be passionate about the brand you're stocking and the designs that they have.
Yeah, there's 400 designers on our list.
So there's so you're not going to be, it's not like you're stuck with 10.
you genuinely are not stuck. But, you know, if you said, I'm going to buy this label, and this label, and they were all sparkly dresses, I would be saying, that's fantastic. However, you need some clean product. Mm-hmm. And by clean product, I mean crepe. Mm-hmm. You know, and as we get, they're all columns. Mm-hmm. Like you need a ball. You do need ball gowns in there. Girls get married in ball gowns still.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but or a beautiful A-line, or you need a short dress in there, or you need a jumpsuit in there. So our job is to help you build a range of dresses that you can invest in.
And that work together as well, I assume, because yeah. Looking around Kiddington here, you've got quite a few labels that are very different styles when you look at them individually, yeah. But they all work together so beautifully. I mean, this would again be Hannah's moment to insert a few of the different designs, but, you know, chosen by Kaya with those gorgeous, gorgeous beading and sort of sequin, sparkly styles versus Caroline Castigliano, which is very clean and... Yeah. And also still has that beading, but more of like a traditional lacy beading style.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they are all, you know, this is my collection. Mm-hmm. It sounds very dominating.
It's mine.
You know, my dresses are, you know, the essence of what we sell is part of our brand values. You know, they are all beautiful, handmade, fashion forward, stylish dresses. You know, we don't really do traditional. We are more classic in style. You know, we've got dresses that would suit the Audrey Hepburn look.
Grace Kelly.
Or Grace Kelly, you know, that sort of timeless, minimal bride. But equally, we've got, you know, Kate Moss dress in here as well. And so we kind of mix it up so that you've got a good blend. But they all have to sit beside each other. They all have to be within a similar sort of price bracket. Because, you know, we sell luxury wedding dresses.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't apologise for that, but it does mean that they're more expensive than a sort of standard non-designer label.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they're £2,000 plus.
Mm-hmm.
So the girls that shop here are girls that, you know, are fashion forward. They're what they like. You know, where fashion brands have followed designers and celebrity weddings, know what the latest look and style is, and might be having a low-key wedding. So they know what they know what they want, and they know that then they're prepared to spend it. And, you know, today's bride came in with a pair of Jimmy Choos and just put them down and went, I'm wearing these with the dress. And I went, which dress? She went, I don't know yet. She chose a dress, and then she was horrified they didn't match the shoes. So the dress was, you know, had a little bit of sparkle on it, and the shoes were all pearly. But that's the kind of girl that comes in. So we work the collection by shop. It has to be a collection that their franchisee chooses, because they've got to love it.
Mm-hmm.
And our job is to help them pick what we believe to be the winners with 15 years experience, so that they don't make, you know, the investment into product that's not going to sell, or investment into product that I think will come in and then not be fitting well,
mm-hmm.
or investment into a label that's no name and disappears, that's got no social media or marketing support behind it. So we're really specific about helping to make sure that they get the right collection.
Amazing. And I think that's probably very reassuring for someone that is thinking, you know, actually this is something that I do want to do, but I don't quite know how to start or where to turn. So I think, you know, especially if you're just starting out as well, this could be an avenue to explore. You know, I've been working in the wedding industry for 3 years now, and I absolutely love it. I never want to leave the industry, no matter where my sort of career takes me. I know that I really love the wedding sector, and I want to stay in it. And I think people that join the wedding sector do tend to have that attitude. So how do you stand out from a crowd where, as you say, it is quite a saturated market, wedding dress shopping?
Yeah, I think you have to be, I think, you know, how do you stand out in a saturated market is a really good question. You have to, as a business, be very clear on what your brand values are.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes across everything. You know, the brand language on your website has to be relatable. The brand behaviour when people come in to shop with you, you have to be, you know, we're very clear with how we train our team, how they should behave, how we should welcome our guests. make sure the experience is right. And then it comes into the brand presentation and then the brand product. So it's always about people, product, place and price for me. And those are the four key things that I always look at. And then it's about, you know, how do you stand head and shoulders above everybody else? You just got to do it better.
Mm.
And, you know, we work really hard to keep up to date with what's going on and be ahead of, you know, trends that are coming down the line. You know, I remember 2-3 years ago, the balloon sleeve, we love a balloon sleeve, but balloon sleeves were massive in the fashion market and nobody was making a balloon sleeve in the bridal market. And I thought, this is just going to pop at some point.
Mm.
And so we were sort of saying to our designers, you need to give us a balloon sleeve dress. We need a balloon sleeve dress. And so, you know, so it's always pushing things forward and being aware of what's coming next. And staying true to your core values. And that's something we've done for 15 years, but only probably because, you know, I come out of a background where in marketing, all we talked about were brand values, brand behaviours, brand language, all of that stuff, so that you make it professional. You know, my girls, I'd be horrified if my girls went to a wedding showcase and turned up in a pair of jeans and looked scruffy and just stood there with their hands in their pockets. That's not how we present ourselves. So it all has to feel luxury and special. And that kind of puts us in, and consistency and trust and these online reviews kind of make us stand head and shoulders above other shops. And I'm not dissing any other bridal shop. We all have our own space in the marketplace.
Mm.
But, you know, the space that I have picked is the luxury sector. And we have to make sure that everything we do is luxury.
And reflects that.
Absolutely. Down to details of me coming in and going, that's dead, why is it out? You know, what toilet paper are we using? What candles are we burning? You know, I don't want cheap Dunelm furniture. I want beautiful, stylish interior design picked pieces to sit in the shops. So it all has to fall in line. And then of course, me as the brand ambassador, you know, whatever I do, wherever I represent the brand, I have to make sure that I present myself in a way and talk about it coherently and you know, make people go, right, I want to buy my wedding dress from this brand.
Mm.
Because they are trusted. And my friend, you know, 15 years on, 80% of our customers are recommendations. And so this shop really, if you didn't know it was here, you wouldn't know it was here. But this shop wouldn't be the amazing success it's been if we didn't have, you know, 10 years in the city centre and 10 or 15 years in Beaconsfield. And so, you know, when I was doing the pop-ups, Nikita, that really taught me that people trust our brand.
Mm-hmm.
And it is about brand trust. So during COVID, one of the things that was really important to me was connecting with my customers and making sure that they knew I was still here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, remember 3 years ago last weekend, all the shops shut, everybody disappeared.
I know. Scary, isn't it?
Can you believe 3 years?
No.
I can't. I feel like I've lived a life since then.
I've like blocked out and tried to.
I'm in denial that it ever happened. It's not part of me. But you know, at that point, I really was very focused on, we need to make sure we connect with our customers. And I do know shops that went, right, we're shut. Let's close the doors. Let's put the answer phone on. And that was it. They weren't connecting with their brides. We did loads of great things during that period of time that kept, we came out of it with enormous positive feedback from everybody.
Mm.
You know, our social media, we were working from home on social media. I was online every day. We were doing focus groups with our brides. We were saying, right, first 8 people to send us their email address will get invited to a Zoom chat about anything, weddings. We were doing all that stuff. We did the Guys for Brides podcast.
Yeah.
About coming out of lockdown. What do you need to think about? So there was loads of stuff. We were everywhere because we wanted to remain front and foremost for our brides.
Mm.
And it was amazing. We were selling dresses in the last lockdown because girls were going, I'm getting married in 3 months, I need a dress. So one of us was working in the shop closed because we couldn't physically see people, shipping dresses all over the UK. And I was at home on Zoom measuring people. So we were doing
all sorts. Crazy, isn't it? You were at home on Zoom measuring people.
Not
for their dresses.
Underwear. This is how you measure your bust. So, and your nape to waist is the knobble at the top to, you know, so it was really, it was fun, you know, it was fun, but we had to make it fun, and we would have just, And coming out of COVID, we got a lot of great press and support and amazing reviews from that. So that kind of just continues to build the trust, but we're not complacent with that. No. You know, you're today's hero, you're tomorrow's in the bin. So, you know, it's about staying relevant, staying, you know, new website, new branding, constantly pushing everything forward, which is what I love doing.
That's great to hear.
Yeah, part of my job that I love.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, it's so clear that you're so passionate about what you're going to be doing with this franchise as well. So with that in mind, can we talk about the characteristics of the person that would be perfect for an Ellie Sanderson franchise?
Well, actually, Nikita, you would. I thought you would. Yeah. After you went and come back to me. I am a very high energy driven individual. That's who I am. I'm, you know, it's either perfect or it's not good enough. And we really push ourselves. And we're always busy. John at Guides to Brides always says to me, Ellie, you're always busy. And I say, and if I'm not busy, I get busy. Mm-hmm. Because busy is good. And so we are a busy business. You know, mm-hmm. We're always looking at the next thing. We're always pushing. We're always looking at labels, how we improve our website, how we improve our connectivity. Push, push, push. The individual that has to work in that environment has to be high energy. They have to be positive. They have to have some retail or marketing or finance experience. They don't have to be a retailer, as I was. I'm not a pure retailer. I've done lots of jobs. But they have to have understanding of those key things. They have to be part of a team, because it is teamwork. And, you know, I'll be the business coach. So me and the individual, we have to get on.
Mm-hmm.
My business manager's job is to help them operationally run their business. And my job is to coach and develop their skills to make them a better business manager and make their business even better. So it's got to be the right match fit between us. Because if we, you know what it's like. If you don't get on when you're working really closely with somebody, it's not great.
You don't want to go into work.
No.
If you are, no matter how good either of you are at your jobs, if you're clashing, then it's painful.
It's like a marriage. You have to work with people. You spend more time with people you work with than your partner.
Yeah.
You know? Well, I do anyway. And so the people I work with, like Sarah, my business manager, you know, I've known Sarah over 8 years. She's got a massive skill set as well. Different skills to me, which is great. But she comes out of, she worked for UGG, which is a franchise as well.
Mm.
So she's worked for lots of brands that franchise. So she knows how to operate franchises. I've worked in the franchising. I used to work in Sainsbury's Homebase, and all the little pop-up shops around the perimeters of Sainsbury's Homebase, when it was Sainsbury's Homebase, are franchisees. And I used to run those with the franchisor. So I know what the business models look like, and the worst examples and the best examples. So the individual has to be, you know, they've got to love wedding dresses.
Yeah.
You can't open a wedding dress shop unless you love wedding dresses.
I mean, I have to say as well, to work in the industry, you need to just generally love weddings. Yeah. Like whenever we put a job description up, it's actually a requirement in the job description that you love the idea of weddings and events, or like the idea of working in the industry, or just enjoy a wedding.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have that sort of passion for it, then you won't enjoy the work you're doing, because it's all consuming in the wedding industry. Yes.
Completely. It's all or nothing. Mm. And also, I sound so woke and cliche. And that, but the individual's got to be kind.
Yes.
I want the ideal franchisee for me is somebody that absolutely gets emotional when she sells somebody a wedding dress. Because, you know, I've got a number of brides I could, you know, think of. A beautiful girl called Holly bought a dress off me. She's in next month for her fittings.
Good luck, Holly.
In Beaconsfield. Last summer, and she'd been driving past the shop since she was at school. And she wasn't going to go anywhere else. She didn't go anywhere else. She only came to me. I looked after Holly. And Holly, I'm a little shiver down my spine. She came back with her mum the second day to retry the dress. And it was her dress and her veil and her headband. It was just hers. And so, you know, I was in tears with Holly choosing her dress, genuinely heartfelt. And it's not fake. We don't fake it, you know. And and I just wrapped my arms around her. And I was so happy that she's an Ellie bride.
Mm.
And she's on the journey with us. And, you know, all of that. And so if you're going to be in this industry, it's not a retail business. You have to love people. You have to be kind. You have to be big enough to look at someone who looks incredible in a dress and go, you look amazing. Mm. And not think, oh my God, she looks better than I would look in that dress. Because it's not about you. It's not about you. It's not about anybody else that works here. It's about the bride. Everything's about the bride. You know, we all wear, this team will wear black to work because it's not about us. We don't want to shine. The only person that shines in this studio is the bride.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got to feel that, or it's not the right job for you, let alone the right franchisee for me. Amazing. So it's a real meeting of minds. We've met a few people already that we've kind of interviewed for the franchise. One of them wasn't in the right area, and the other one we're in talks with at the moment. We're just, you know, getting to know each other. So I don't want to go, bang, it's open. I want to pick the right person for business growth. This is about them, you know, it'll be a job change for them and they buy into business. And this is about me developing their business to take, you know, anything up to £500,000, £600,000 in a shop. So it's about building their future of their business. So they've got to be at the right point in their life to do it. Not about to just have a baby. Crazy as that sounds, but it's a hard working job, and I think that would be too much to juggle. Although my business manager Sarah came back to work after having had a baby for a month. But it is a hard job. It's massive personal commitment to it. So it's about the right point in your journey personally. And I couldn't describe that person, but all I'm saying is you've got to be ready to be focused on.
And I guess as well, it's almost like, I know it's a franchise, but it is your business. Yeah. And when you open a business or start a business, everyone knows you don't work 9 to 5. Yeah. You work 24/7 a lot of the time.
Yeah.
You know, so being ready for that, or even ready to go through that for a few years before you start working on other things.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got to hit the ground running. The great thing about buying a franchise in a well-known brand is that you do hit the ground running. You know, if you go back into the high street and you look at brands like Karen Millen, if you open to Karen Millen, everybody knows what Karen Millen is. You sell it. Everybody knows what Catherine is. Everybody knows what McDonald's is. You get the same cheeseburger in every McDonald's. Some might be better than others, but they're basically the same content. That's a franchise. So it's the same thing here. You know, the franchisee would open their own shop. It's exactly the same, and they get the right support the whole way through it. It's really exciting. I look at it now and think, you know, if there'd been a brand like mine around back in the day, I might have done it. Because, you know, it took me a few years to establish the brand, and then it's gone from strength to strength to strength. So it does take you a number of years. It can take you up to 3 years from starting to becoming a well-known brand that is a destination on everybody's books. You know, girls go, well, I'm going to go wedding dress shopping. Where am I going to go? And they rattle off their top three shops. To be one of those top three shops, you've got to have been around a while.
Yeah.
And that's what I learned with doing the pop-ups. You know, we popped up everywhere. And we just put the banner up and they went, we weren't wearing Ellie Simonson, and they trusted us. Now I know if I pick this business up and drop it over in Birmingham, it's got my name above it, we're part of the same group, right? We're Ellie Simonson. So, and you're right, you know, the standards have to be exacting, and, you know, I will be part of that because it is my name. I'll be a big part of it. I'm not going to be a hands-off franchisor. I'm going to be a hands-on coach.
Yeah, it's very different from McDonald's because it is your name.
Yeah. It is my name. It is very, it's personal. I'm not married, so the Sanderson doesn't necessarily apply.
I mean, Ellie Flowers.
Ellie Sanderson. So, yeah.
Amazing. Okay, I think I'd like to finish off our conversation by asking your top three tips for someone that is thinking about either franchising or opening their own bridal boutique after they get married. What are your top three tips?
Top three tips for doing it. Do your research. Don't assume because you live in Wakefield, pluck that out the air. Forgive me if you're listening from Wakefield. Don't assume because you live in Wakefield, you should open a shop in Wakefield. That's what I'm saying. You know, so do your research. Make sure you know that there is space for your business in the area that you're looking at. Number one. Number two, do your research with who you're going to buy. You're going to pay these suppliers for dresses, and every year they're going to come back to you and say, I want more money. You know, you buy a collection of dresses, you spend £20,000, the supplier's going to come back the following year and go, here's next year's collection, you've got to buy £20,000 again. And so you've got to be prepared in your mind to know where to spend your money and where you're going to get your return on investment.
Mm-hmm.
So pick your suppliers very carefully, do your homework. And then, you know, test the market. Go out, have a look in the area you're in. It's probably linked to question point tip number one. Look at the area you're in and look at the shops and look at what they're doing and look at who's doing it well and who's not doing it well. Start off looking at Google reviews. Mm-hmm. Read the Google reviews. They are brutal.
Oh, yeah. People are brutal. They go hounding on Google reviews.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we've fortunately got something like 450 five-star Google reviews. We've got one-star Google review, and I'm proud of that one-star Google review because it makes the others look real. But that one-star Google review was utterly inaccurate, and because I wouldn't let her taxi driver use the toilet, I got a one-star Google review. But it was brutal, and it just shows you that if it's that brutal, the other five stars are real. But do look at Google reviews. Look at Guide to Brides reviews. Mm,
absolutely.
You know? Again, that's a really good point to look at.
I can't remember how many you've got. I think it's something like 150 on there.
No, it's not. What about 500?
500?
You've enjoyed the shops together.
Hang on. We're going to check it out. We'll fact check it. You've got something like 500, nearly 600 reviews.
We have indeed.
Between your two shops.
And they're all five stars. Clearly the one-star Google girl didn't get that. Thank goodness.
But they're all from real couples who have shared their real experience.
Yeah.
So all in all then, if you've done your deep, deep research, because a lot of that is research, isn't it? It's the biggest part of it. What should you do if you would like to start a franchise with Ellis Anderson Brand?
Get in touch.
There
is a little line on our website at the bottom. You can click through to that. And that gives you a direct email to me. We have a wonderful digital brochure that has me talking about what a franchise is, because it's so much nicer than reading a load of words, because it just goes woof. Which gives you a really good idea, you know, a bit about what we've talked today. What is a franchise? What does a bridal franchise look like? What does it mean to you? So we can send you the digital brochure. If that all sounds, you know, something you're quite excited about and you think, I need to know more, then we meet up. And that's literally the process. We meet, we talk, we discuss the area of opportunity that you think you have. We talk about your fit with the brand. You kind of get to interview me and I kind of get to interview you. And then we step away from that and we go away again. And then we come back and we have another meeting and we talk about it in more detail. And as we have done with the franchisee that we're currently talking with, we then go and visit the area that she's interested in. We'll look at properties. We'll think about gaps in the market. And, you know, I'm really well placed in the wedding industry because I think I know practically thousands of wedding dress shops. So I know where's an area you don't want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I know where there's an area where I think there's a gap. But I also know the retailers that might, because, you know, sometimes you have two or three retailers in the same area. But you look at Whitney from here.
Yeah.
Whitney's got about four wedding dress shops.
Yeah, but all of them have got different styles.
Exactly.
Which is fine, but you don't want to have the same matching style as yours.
Correct. And, you know, if there's four wedding dress shops in an area and there's 1,000 brides buying wedding dresses in that area and you open a fifth one, all you do is split the biz for 1,000 brides between five, not four. So I'm very... I'm quite hard with that. If I think there's no gap, I'm like, there's
no. And that's the way you've got to be.
Conversation, no. Because I'm not going to let you give me money to then have a failed shop. So it has to be in the right place that works, that I know it's going to work. And with 15 years experience, I'm very good at sort of knowing that.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you so much, Ellie, for talking us through everything. And I hope you've enjoyed this little bonus episode that we've brought to you today. If you are wanting to investigate opening your own Ellie Sanderson franchise, we have got the link in our show notes for you. And of course, we'll be linking to Ellie's Instagram and to her Guide to Brides listings as well, if you do want to read those reviews. So thank you so much, Ellie. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for inviting us to this gorgeous location as well. I've been here a few times now and I'm literally every time like, oh my
God. You were here last weekend,
weren't you? I was, yeah.
Not for you, though.
Not for me, no, for someone else. Absolutely. But yeah, it was here last weekend and it was just a wonderful experience, I have to say.
Brilliant.
But thank you so much for being a guest today. Pleasure. And we'll be chatting with you again soon, I'm very sure.
Right. And after the wedding, if you decide you want to franchise, Nikita, you've got my mobile phone.
I do, yeah, yeah. Okay, I'll get on to that.
Thanks for your time.
Cheers, thanks, Ellie.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Guide to Brides, the Wedding Podcast. Head over to guidetobrides.co.uk to continue your wedding planning. And don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe on our social media channels at Guides for Brides.